Being born again. Being born again. It's what we see in verse number 23. And I want to try, if I can tonight, to preach for just a little while on this thought. What do you know? What do you see about the new birth? What do you know about being born again? I want to deal with the subject of being born again, but I want to look at it tonight from Peter's viewpoint in these verses with the help of the Lord. And I want to see if I can tonight to maybe get your mind working on what do you know about it, or what do you see in it. In the subject of being born again, we know that Jesus answered a religious man in John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse number 3 when he come with different questions about the doctrines that the Lord was preaching. And Jesus, before Nicodemus ever asked a question, gave him this answer. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so there is a great emphasis in the Bible on being born again, the new birth. Jesus said again in verse 7 of that chapter, he says to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Our subject tonight is preceded by the verb to be. And so with that, it describes to us a state of being. It's not just about what you believe. It's not just about your affiliation with this body, but it is a state of being. Being born again is not a position that you hold. It's not a set of tenets. It's not a set of doctrines or a creed, but it is an experience of the grace of God in the life of the sinner, where by the power of the gospel, they are born, they are birthed into the family of God. It speaks of an existence that is manifested by evident characteristics, amen, as you begin to look in the Word of God. But I want us to take a few minutes tonight, and I want to bring out two words, if I can, from these verses that I believe are very relevant to how Peter is addressing the subject of being born again. And notice what he said in verse number 18. He says, for as much as ye know, for as much as ye know, how much do you know about it? Amen. Amen. How much do you know about it tonight? This must. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That's significant, that important. It is very imperative that you understand no one is going to heaven without being born again. No one is going to, know the peace and the joy of sins being forgiven and a changed life without the experience of the new birth. If it's that important, we should know a lot about it. What do you know about it? Amen. Notice what he says in verse 22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I'm interested in that word seeing. What do you see in it? Amen. What do you know about it? How much do you know about it? How much do you know about the new birth? What do you see in it when you stand back and you take a look at the grace of God in your life? He's talking to people that had experienced the new birth. He's addressing those that had experienced the reality of being saved by the grace of God, their life being changed, and they have been born into the family of God. And he says, for as much as you know, do you know that? Could I make that assumption tonight? Peter is assuming that these people know something about being born again. Could I stand here and say, what I'm telling you, you already know? Amen. What I'm preaching about tonight, I'm just reminding you of truths that's already settled in your heart. For as much as I know that you know, he said, seeing you already have got a viewpoint of what it means to be in the family of God. Some things you ought to know about being born again. Some things you should see about the new birth. First of all, I want to know, what do you know about the cost of it? Amen. 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 You thought about it lately? What do you know about the cost of this birth? amen, that we have experienced in the grace of God. He says in verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. What does it cost? Are you very familiar with that? Have you seen the cost of it? Have you come to a knowledge of what it cost? Amen. The opportunity of being born again has a price tag. According to this verse, amen, the cost of the new birth, amen, there's a very high price. It's very costly. And you need to know that, amen. You need to be able to see that tonight. You see, the cost of things carries no value to us in this generation. Amen. That is manifested by the careless way that we treat things, amen. We careless, and what that word careless means is that we just care less. And that's exactly the way it is in Christendom today across the world. They could care less about what it costs. But I'm telling you, there's a great price that was paid, amen, for men to be born again. We use things. We abuse things. We never maintain things or consider the value of things. Value is more than what something costs. It involves what it does for us, amen, what it aids us in. Amen. Something may not cost a whole lot, but can be great value to you because of the needs that it supplies in your life. The flow of money and the lack of respect for it has produced this way of thinking in our day, and we have lost sight of the cost that is involved in being born again. One man said, money is the universal passport for everywhere but heaven. And the universal provider of everything but happiness. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The silver and gold that you read about in verse number 18 could never buy the redemption that has been secured in the grace of God. And the Bible tells us concerning the cost that it was very precious. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you this evening that the blood that was shed at Calvary was precious. The life of the Christ that came to this earth and died on the cross of Calvary was precious. Amen. Heaven didn't give up its best. Heaven gave all, amen. God manifest in the flesh, amen, justified in the spirit, was come, was brought to this earth, amen, through the virgin womb of Mary, born, yes, in Bethlehem's manger, but born to die for the sins of the world. And there was a precious price paid, amen. It was precious what it cost, amen, for you to be born again tonight. Notice it was provided in verse 19. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm thankful that God fulfilled that prophecy that he gave to Abraham, that God would provide himself a lamb. He does it in, amen, John, the book of John, and throughout the Gospels when Jesus came to this earth and was crucified for the sins of the world. But there was a provision. Somebody provided the cost. Got very familiar to us, hadn't it? It doesn't mean much to us. But I'm telling you, God gave his only begotten son to save the world from sin. And I'm telling you tonight, we don't know anything about the cause. We teach our children, you don't want to go to hell when you die. You want to go to heaven, don't you? And we bow before them and they pray a sinner's prayer. And they know nothing about the gift that God gave in his son and the cost that was manifested and the precious life of Jesus that died on the cross that day for the sins of the world and the provision that God granted to this wicked, cursed world to have joy and peace and forgiveness through the life of his son. Amen. What do you know about the cost? Have you thought about it much lately? Seeing you have impurified your souls in obeying the truth. Have you saw it? Amen. It's very personal, by the way. This cost, this price that was paid, it's not only precious in verse 19. Not only is it provided as a lamb, Jesus died as the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world, but it's very personal. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Amen. Amen. Gets very personal. Amen. Do you know anything about that, being that personal? Well, preacher, I've been raised a Baptist all my life. That's wonderful. I guess it is. But have you ever been saved? Have you ever come to the place in your Christian or in your walk on this, in this sojourn of life, and realized that you were not a Christian, realized that you were separated from God, and the reality of the new birth, amen, and what it could do in your life became very personal to you? You see, living for God's about, it's not about changing the attitude that you have about the world that's around you and the sin and the ungodliness. And, you know, I'm tired of going down this path. I'm tired of living this way. So I think I'll just make an about face. And even though repentance is involved in some of that, that is not what the new birth is, not reformation. The new birth is not penance. The new birth, are you listening to me? It's not just being sorry about the damage that sin has brought in your life. The new birth is a state of being. I am saved tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's by the grace of God, by the mercies of the Lord. And there was a great price that was paid. And I remember the day when it was personal to me, when the grace of God came to where I was at. And I didn't have any idea of what was going on in all the world. But that day, the work of Calvary and the power of the gospel touched me where I was at and changed my life. I want to ask you something. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about a personal cost of being born again? It was manifest in these last times for you. Do you know anything about a very close personal work of the new birth? Do you know it? Have you ever seen it? I'm talking about seeing it in your life. Amen. I'm amazed and very concerned about people who show no evidence of ever having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. What do you know about the cost? Have you ever seen what it cost? Have you saw the price on that thing? You ever said that? Do you have any idea what that cost? Do you know anything about how much it costs to have that? Do you know, have any idea tonight what it costs to have this? Here's what he said, for as much as you know. I wonder if I could truly, as a pastor with a clear conscience and a clear heart tonight, make that statement. For as much as you know, do you know? That's what I'm concerned about tonight. I'd like to be able to say that. I'd like to be able to say, for as much as you know, that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. The cross. What do you know about the cross? Verse 19, the Bible lets us know that Jesus was the precious Lamb of God and that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I was talking with someone, this come up in college class this year. You know, many people have talked about, you know, different things concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament, but this sums it all up here in this verse, that Calvary was a reality in the mind of God before Adam was ever created. In fact, before the foundation was laid for this earth to exist, Calvary was a reality in the mind of God. That's why everything from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament is pointing to the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that would die for the sins of the world. What do you know about it? What have you seen in the cross? Has there ever been a time that you have associated the reality of the state that you are in as a child of God, I am born again. I have been created in Christ Jesus, a new creature. My soul has been changed and forgiven by the power of God. And all that happened through the cross. Amen. That cross involves blood. Jesus shed his blood that day, amen, to redeem the sins. I hope this is not boring to some of you. That's, if it is tonight, that's who I'm talking about. You've lost sight and got very careless with what you say has happened to you that's going to secure you a place in heaven, and I hope it has tonight, amen. I'm going to tell you something. I'm preaching about being born again, being a new creature, having been changed by the power of the grace of God. And I'm telling you, we need to know something about this new birth. We need to know something about its cause. We should see what it caused. Every day of our life, we should be reminded that we are who we are and what we are because of the price that was paid. Amen. The cross, we see the blood of that cross. There have been men, and I never dreamed I would ever live to see this day, but there have been men that have discounted the blood of Jesus. They say, well, you know, it's not really got anything to do with the blood. It's all about the death. Jesus died. And Jesus' blood was shed all the way up the pathway to Calvary. Jesus' blood was no doubt shed when he was in Caiaphas' house and the priest, and they beat him and smote him and hit him and abused him. Blood was shed there. Blood was probably shed on the pavement of Pilate's place. Blood was probably shed when the soldiers beat him and marred him and mocked him and placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Blood was shed on the hill of Calvary when they pierced his hands, his side, and his feet. And as he laid there on the ground before the cross was stood up, surely blood dripped into the soil. And here's what they say. Theologians, prominent preachers would say, and this blows my mind, but here's what they would say. It would be literally impossible for that blood to be gathered back up. I mean, it's literally impossible for a virgin to conceive and give forth birth to a child. I don't understand how a man could even make such a stupid statement. But I'm going to tell you something. The blood is very significant in the scripture, and you need to know that. You need to know that you have been born again, and through the new birth, amen, the blood is mentioned. I'm talking about the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. That blood secured pardon for your sin. Yes, it was very relevant that Jesus died. I'll get to that in just a moment. But the blood was shed that you might be forgiven. That blood was the atonement. And I believe every drop of it, amen, is on the mercy seat in heaven today, overlooked by cherubims, as it was in the Ark of the Covenant during the days and the similitude there in Moses' day. I believe that blood is there atoning at this present time for the sins of the world. Do you know that tonight? Do you know something about the cross? It was there that the blood was shed. Do you see that? Do you understand? I understand that. I may not understand everything that was involved in it, but I knew that my blood was tainted. I knew that the blood that flows through the veins of this human tabernacle, amen, is corrupt and depraved and drives me down the pathway of sin and rejection. But when I got born again, another blood came into being in my life. I had the blood of Jesus atoned for my sin. There's the word, not only blood, but there's the word in verse 19, blemish. Amen. Do you know anything about that tonight when it comes to the cross? Amen. He was without spot. Amen. He was the just dying for the unjust. Amen. Praise the Lord. The kings and judges of this earth, they stood and said, we find no fault in him. We find no fault in him. We find no fault in him. And no matter what Hollywood may produce, or the world's, or skeptics, agnostics, modernists, infidels of this world would say about the Lord Jesus Christ, he was without spot. He was without blemish. A lamb that would be slain for the sins of mankind. And through that, he could pay the ultimate price that we could not pay for ourselves. That is, that a body that could not die because it had no sin in it, a body that could not perish, amen, would lay its life down and give up the ghost and cry out, it is finished. Cry out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he said, no man can take my life from me. I freely give it. He was without blemish. He paid the payment that we owed at Calvary. I thought about the boundaries of the cross. What do you know about the boundaries of the cross? He says, before the foundation of the world, in verse 20, manifested in these last times for you, the boundaries of the cross, all the way back to Adam, Calvary would cover the sins of man. And all the way out into the future to the last human being that would breathe God's air, the sins of man would be covered through the power of the blood that was shed. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, that takes out limited atonement completely out, does it not? Just the fact that God said that he was slain as a lamb. Listen to me. If limited atonement, and most of you don't even know what that is, and that's a good thing, but if Jesus was only going to die for those that would receive the gospel and be saved, wasn't no need for God to make that plan before the foundation of the world. Amen. Was no need for it. Amen. But God made this plan of redemption before the foundation of the world because the blood would cover it all. The blood would cover it all. Amen. The choir sang this morning, I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. You sang that this morning, did you not? You adults got in the choir and you sang, I am amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. Are you really amazed? Do you really know anything about it? When you sang that phrase of that song this morning, I looked at the choir and I said, I wonder really how many of them really know. How many of them really see it. And just how many of them are really amazed at how far God went to set, amen, free those that are bound by the cords of sin and wrapped up in the strongholds and fetters of iniquity. But I'm telling you, the boundaries of the cross reach beyond our imagination. And God, amen, the power of the gospel, amen, can change your life tonight. Amen. Boundaries. But then here's what he says in verse 21 about the cross. He says, who by him do believe in God. It involves belief. It involves a faith that is generated by the power of the word of God and the responsibility of man. Who by him, verse 21, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Where is your faith and where is your hope tonight? Is it in the Lord? What do you know about the cross? Now listen to me. I know I'm preaching about some very broad subjects tonight, but I'm preaching about being born again. Amen. And my question tonight is, what do you know? How much do you know about it? Peter assumed that these folk here that did not have a Bible, amen, they did not have a copy of the Word of God when Peter's right. All they had was what Peter's given them here. They did not have a copy of the Bible. All they had, amen, was the revelation that was unveiled to them during this period of time, and the letters that the apostles were given them, and what little bit of pieces of manuscripts they may have had of the Old Testament. And yet, here's what Peter says: with the limited ability and the limited amount of knowledge that they had, here's what he said about these people. For as much as ye know, and he said, seeing, ye have purified your souls. And I'm telling you, we have, at the push of a button, we can search any word in the Word of God. At the push of a button, we can borrow the brains of men from centuries and times past of what they have prayed and studied and determined truths from the Word of God. We can sit down and read the entire canon of Scripture that has been preserved and provided for you and I in the 1611 King James Bible. And yet, I really don't know if with a clear conscience if I could stand and say, for as much as ye know. Brother Josh told me last night that a deacon of a Baptist church, I guess, called and asked him this question. Is everybody listening? A deacon of a Baptist church called and asked him this question. When a man dies, does he really go to heaven or hell? Now, that's a man that's a deacon of a Baptist church that needed to call someone and verify an answer to such a question. And of course the answer is, when a man dies, if he dies unsaved, he lifts up his eyes in hell with the rich man being in torment, separated from God, awaiting one event, and that is the great white throne of judgment, to then be cast in the lake of fire to face the judgment of God throughout eternity. And a man that dies in the grace of God, saved by the grace of God, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And awaiting the great day of resurrection, amen, when we will stand before the Lord God and be in His presence. But what about this faith? What do you know about the cross? You see, the cross is a symbol, or symbolizes death, but it brings life. It's a symbol of pain, yet it offers healing. It's a symbol of suffering, yet it offers peace. It is a symbol of sin, where man would die for some crime that he had committed, yet here in the Word of God, it brings salvation. Amen. Do you know that? Do you see it? That's a reality to those that have been born into the family of God. Amen. Thirdly, what do you know about the cost of it? It's what Peter's saying. Peter says, I know that you know this and you see this. It was not obtained with silver and gold. He said, I know that you know something about a cross. That's where the Lamb of God was slain. Then he talks about our conversation. What do you know about your conversation when it comes into view of the new birth? He says in verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Your vain conversation. The word conversation is not a word that is used as we use it today. We talk about a conversation, we're talking about how we're talking right now, what we're saying to one another. But the Word of God, when unveiling to us conversation, is talking about your behavior, how you act, the things you do with your body that is a result of the process and working of your mind. He says in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now you better tie all that together or you'll preach a work salvation. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What do you know about the conversation, your behavior when it comes to the new birth? A change. A vain conversation means that your behavior and your life was empty and void, had no meaning. That ever happened? Amen. That's what Brother Thrien, I believe, was testifying about this morning concerning. He said, my family are serving God. When we're serving God, we're doing something for the Lord with a reason, with a purpose. He was talking about what we're doing and the life that we're living to the glory of God. It has a significant meaning now. I'm telling you, when I got saved by the grace of God, I had squandered my life, amen, to the flesh and the world and the devil. I had thrown away many years, and I'd thrown away a lot of strength and a lot of ability and wasted a lot of thoughts. Are you listening to me? But when I got saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, my behavior was rearranged in a moment of time because I was birthed into the family of God. There was a change that was made from my vain conversation. There was a choice that was made. Verse 22 said, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I started making some choices after I got born again. You know, I'd lived all of my life. I'd been raised in an independent Baptist church all my life. My daddy was a deacon. I had my name on a pew sitting on the back there. What my name was on the side of a pew. When I'd got a job and we were building the church, I bought a pew. My name's probably still on that pew unless they took it off. My dad's name was on a pew down through here somewhere. And you know what? My name was on the pew of an independent Baptist church, but my name wasn't on the roll in heaven. Ain't that pathetic? And I had the awfulest time that you could ever imagine making choices that, amen, was a reflection of godliness and holiness. I had a real hard time making choices to obey the truth. I mean, buddy, I'd wake up with a new goal, with a new purpose, with a new thought that I'm going to do better. I'm never going to go there again. I'm never going to say that again. I'm never going to act that way again. I'm never going to be that way again. But I'd find myself going down the same path, saying the same thing, acting the same way. And I had no inward power, no thirst, no hunger to do what was right. But after I got born again, I mean, talking about being born into the family of God, I didn't have nowhere near the trouble that I'd had in the past, amen, making choices around truth. Because there was some conviction going on in my world that I'd never known before. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Amen. I mean, does the Holy Spirit of God deal with you about truth? Or is all the truth you know about is the pressure of a Christian home and a mom and dad or a school or a teacher or a pastor? Or do you know anything about the Spirit of God dealing with your heart? About the condition of your soul and responding to truth led by that godliness. I'm going to tell you that's serious. Some of you have been under the leadership and the government of a mom and dad that loved the Lord Jesus, and they had kept your choices confined. But when you are at liberty to make choices for yourself, what kind of choices do you make? And I realize that saved people can make bad choices. Amen? But saved people don't make bad choices, bad choices, bad choices, bad choices, and never can seem to make any right choices. When all of your choices are choices that revolve around the flesh and the world and the devil, and you cannot seem to make choices that revolve around truth, it's a good possibility that the Spirit of God, notice what he says, is everybody with me tonight? And I know this may sound like Sunday school, but you need to listen to me tonight. He says, seeing. You need to see this tonight. It's evident that some of you have never got a glimpse of this. And that's what I'm preaching about. This is something about the new birth you need to know. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Not through the parent. Not through the preacher. Not through the rules and the regulations of a religious sect. But you have obeyed the truth through the Spirit that is within your soul. That only exists if you've been born again. And the point I'm trying to make tonight is this. Do you know that? Can you see it? Can you see it? You better see this. You better get a good look at this tonight. You better know this. Peter is assuming that all that he's writing to see it and know it. And you better see this and you better know it. The choice, the change. He talks about our vain conversation. We've been changed by the power of the Word of God. I'm talking about things happened. Things changed in my life. Now listen to me. Don't you think for a minute, well, the preacher's preaching sinless perfection. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I realize that every saint of God in this building has the capability of sinning. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think that I'm going to stand up here and preach your son and daughter into heaven, if they have done nothing but live a wicked and a worldly life from the time they got out from under your roof until this very day and tell you they're saved, I don't believe it one minute. Amen. And I'm going to preach them headed right straight to hell as fast as any human being could go. Amen. Because they have no ability to make choices about truth. Well, preacher, I believe they're saved and I think that they've just got out of the will of God. I can believe that. I can believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. When they are at liberty to make choices on their own and all the choices they make are to ungodliness and worldliness, it's a good chance, a good possibility, more likely than not, they've never experienced what this verse is talking about. They have never obeyed truth through the Spirit, which is something you need to see tonight. I'm going to tell you what you can do. If you're born again tonight and you're 17, 18, and a young lady or a young man, I could throw you right in the middle of a wicked and an ungodly and a sinful world. And if you'll walk in the Spirit of God, because you are born of God, can give you the power, the strength, and the ability to make choices to obey truth. I didn't believe that tonight. I'd never preach another Bible message. I'd throw the Bible in the trash can, never go to church again the rest of my life if I did not believe that you can make choices, amen, to obey the truth through the Spirit. Amen. A change, a choice, conviction. Then notice what our conversation, our behavior. There is a compassion that comes into play. He talks about this spirit that obeys truth unto unfeigned love, pure love, love that is holy and godly, to unfeigned love of the brethren. You have a love for the people of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. You need to listen to me right here. When I was lost, I loved the world and the people that was in the world with all the love that a lost man could have. Understanding that a lost man, I don't even know if he really knows a whole lot about love, but Jesus said that the Gentiles and lost sinners can love. So don't go out preaching that sinners can't love, because they can. Jesus said, amen, that sinners can love. And I love the people of the world. I loved what they talked about. I loved what they ate. I loved what they drank. I loved the concerts they went to. I loved the play that they enjoyed. I loved all the filth and the wickedness of the flesh that they was involved in. I loved to be around them. I loved to be with them when they was doing, I wanted to do it too. I loved it. But when I got born again, there was something that changed concerning my conversation. And the way I loved the world changed. I had a love for them, but it was not the kind of love I had before. I loved them in that I wanted to see them experience the same thing that I've experienced in the grace of God. I wanted to see them born into the family of God. I had a love for their soul, a love and a burden for their life. And I cared about them, but the things they were doing, the places they were going, and the camaraderie that I had enjoyed with them as a lost, undone child of the devil, I could not enjoy any longer. That ever happened to you? Now I realize, as my daughter testified tonight, that's never happened to her because she never was out in the world. But I'm telling you, it happened to me. They did not want to be around me any longer. And the reason why they didn't want to be around me any longer, because I wasn't going to give them a cut off my bloodhound chewing tobacco. Because I didn't have any bloodhound chewing tobacco. Are you listening to me? Hey man, I didn't have a cigarette for them to smoke. They wasn't gonna get a beer out of my keg or whatever. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, things changed. My life changed. A power of being born again became a reality in my life. And those people that I loved and still loved, but had a different love toward them, my compassion changed. All of a sudden, them weirdos down at the church house, them people that I steered clear of when I went to town, I'd go down Main Street. They'd be standing on the back of a pickup truck with a pulpit in the back of it and their finger pointed at the traffic going down the road preaching the gospel. And here's what I'd do. I'd be down there in a car with one of my buddies, and they'd ride down through there. The fire station would be on the ride, and they'd be up there in the back of that truck preaching, and I'd go. Then when we get by, I'd slide back up. I didn't want to see them. I definitely didn't want them to see me. I didn't want to be around them. But after I got saved by the grace of God, the power of the gospel changed my life. I was working at the Independent Life Insurance building down on Church Street. Hey man, just right up about 3 or 4 or 5 blocks was the Greenville Memorial Auditorium. And they had a concert up there that night. I done got saved. I just got right with God, got my heart in order, going to serve the Lord. They was having a concert. Ozzy Osbourne was going to be there at the Greenville Memorial Auditorium. Here I go up the street. I got gospel tracts piled out of my foot shirt pocket walking up the sidewalk. Amen. And I mean, buddy, there's people I went to church with. Are you listening? Is anybody listening? There's people I went to church with up there walking up the sidewalk with a ticket in their pocket. I was handing them a gospel tract. Amen. You listening to me? Something happened. I'm telling you, I had a different kind of love. Compassion changed. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's something about being born again. I'm telling you, the power of the gospel changed my life. Something happened to me. Amen. Are you listening to me? My compassion changed. And the love that I had for the people of the world turned to an unfeigned love for the brethren and the people of God. The people that I thought was weird, that I didn't want to be around, that I thought something was wrong with. They were fanatic. They had taken religion overboard. I'm standing on the sidewalk with them preaching the gospel at the Daniel building in Greenville, South Carolina. Hollering out with all I could holler out. The last days are here. Repent. Believe the gospel. Let the power of God change your life. Yeah. Amen. That ever happened to you? Do you know anything about your conversation, your behavior being changed by the new birth? That's what it means to be born again. You know, listen to me. If all the Lord wanted to do was put overhaul, you ever heard that? So my daddy always said that. He said, that engine needs overhauling. And it cost, you know, my daddy'd take a truck somewhere and he'd say, give me a price on overhauling that engine. That's what they called it, overhauling. Overhaul that engine. Give me a price on it. Well, it costs $1,000. Daddy'd say, well, just put rings and inserts in it and leave the overhauls off. And you don't know what rings and inserts is, most of you don't. That's pretty much what he, you know, well, it's never mind. You listening? But if all you needed was overhauling, God just take you the way you are and just kind of paint you up a little bit, you know, fix you up real nice so you're presentable. But you don't need to be overhauled. You don't need to be rebuilt. You need to be born again. It is a complete new birth. And I'm going to tell you what we've done. We've rehabilitated. We've preached against rehabilitation, and all we've done is overhaul them. Tried to get them to conform to our little fundamental package. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've never been born again, the power of the gospel has never changed your life. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you tonight. My compassion, my conversation, the change that took place concerning my behavior, the conviction, it all happened through the Spirit. Something that I could never do before. Something, and I'll be honest with you, my daddy was a deacon. I went to church. I had a Bible. And there's times that I left, Brother David, being in church. I didn't want to go do what I was going to do. And I'd say, I'm just not going to do it. But I couldn't. I had no spirit within me. But through the Spirit, all of a sudden, I'm able to read this Bible and do what it says for the first time in my life. My compassion, I had an unfeigned love for the brethren. My companionship, I'm talking about, I had a love, one another love with a pure heart fervently, loving the people of God. Then lastly, you need to know something about the condition of the new birth. In verse 22 and 23, and I'm finished, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Condition. Being born again. That is a condition. Are you in that condition tonight? Have you been born again? Being born again means that the condition that I'm in lives. Is everybody listening to me? This book, people have tried, listen to me, people have tried to put this book to death. Voltaire said that in a few short years, because of his influence and doctrine, there would be no Bible. Voltaire's dead and in hell. And I hold in my hand the very thing that they printed on his presses, the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Men have tried to burn it. Men have tried to criticize it. Men have tried to change it. But this evening I have a copy of the living Word of God. Amen. Now, with that being said, the living Word of God is the seed that brought the new birth as a reality in my life. And so just as much as that book is alive tonight, I am alive in Christ. That's what those verses are saying. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if you're born again tonight, what you have spiritually is life. Life. Now, do you have spiritual life? Do you have spiritual life tonight? Amen. This book is alive. And it is the seed that brings the new birth in the life of the unbeliever. So if I plant this seed and this what I plant comes forth, and is anything making sense? I planted some corn seed. Man, it took for a while for it to come up. I didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden when I left out today, I see a little row of green, three rows of green in the garden. And you know what, Johnny? Them ain't apple trees. Are you listening? It's not sunflowers. It's not grapevines. You know what it is? It's corn. You know why it's corn? Because I planted corn seeds. That's why. And if that seed's been planted in your heart and you've been born again of that book is what lives in and through you. And you need to get, you know what? You need to know that. And you need to see it.
Amen.
That's what Peter's saying. For as much as you know, seeing ye have purified yourself, your souls, and obeying the truth. You need to know that. You need to see it. This book lives. Now I'm going to ask you something. Is it living in you? You've heard that song, He Lives in Me, He Lives in Me. Does He live in you? It lives and it does something else. What else does it do? It lives and it what? It lasts. See, here's what he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. It abides forever. It lives and it lasts. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and need to get born all over again. You listening? I believe in the security of the believer because I believe that that book is what brings about the new birth. And if I had to get saved all over again, we would have to write another Bible. Is that not right? According to that verse, If this new birth that I have life in lives because of the Word of God, then if it's not going to last, I'm going to have another Word from God to get born all over again. Now, I believe in the insecurity of the make-believer, but I believe in the security of the believer. I live tonight, and the life that I have lasts. And the reason why it lasts is solely because it is of God. Do you know that you have been born again? Can you see it tonight? Has the power of the gospel ever changed your life? Being born again. You need to understand that. I don't know how savvy you are about English, and I'm not. I know nothing. I realize and I understand I slaughter the King's English. I know I do that. But when I was in college, I made A's and B's in English, college English. I just memorized the book. I was about half dumb, didn't do what I was supposed to do in school. When I went to college and wanted to preach the gospel, I didn't want to bring a shame and reproach on the church. It was paying for my education to go to college, so I just memorized the English book. And I could conjugate every verb, every one of them, past tense, present tense, past perfect tense, active voice, passive voice, or whatever them voices are. Is that right? I could do all of them. I am, you are, he is, we are, you are, they are. Is that right? I didn't look that over tonight before I came. Is that not the verb to be? I am, you are, he is. Plural, we are, you are, they are. That is a conjugation of the verb to be. And that's what the new birth revolves around. Being born again. We are or we're not. You are or you're not. I have been. You have been. I mean, it's all in there. It revolves around a state of being born again. And you need to know that. And you need to see it. And if you don't know it, and you can't stand back, Brother Tarvin, and you a man can't see what I preached about tonight in his life, he needs to examine himself and do it quick and see if he's in the faith.